Well, from this morning on through Christmas, I'm planning to share a series of messages. Is Jesus' coming fills up our longing for hope. The scripture is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. So I'd invite you to turn there with me. And as I'm reading through this passage this morning, I encourage you to look for the mention of the hope which comes because Jesus entered our world. Again, Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love which spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you already have heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. You know, most people who love fishing, and some of you I know do, most people who love fishing would never cast their line into a lake that they knew had no fish. No. Now, I say most because I had a friend named Ken. Ken loved fishing so much that I am convinced he's just as happy catching fish all day or sitting there in a boat all day or on the bank all day and catching nothing. And I have a feeling that if Ken could go fishing, even in a lake he knew there were no fish in, he'd be happy to do it. But Ken's the exception. Most people who like to fish would not want to go on a lake where there are no fish. And if they knew in advance they'd be sitting out all day in the hot sun catching nothing, they might well stay home. You see, it's the hope of catching that fish that keeps them going. It's the hope that the next cast of the lure will make a difference that keeps them going. Hope is important to the fisher person. And hope is absolutely critical in life. Just think about if you in life woke up tomorrow morning with absolutely no hope. You opened your eyes first thing in the morning, you're laying in your bed, and you have no hope of any food in your kitchen. You have no hope that there are any clothes in your closet. You have no hope that you have any sort of a job or income. You have no hope of the car that's there starting. You don't have any hope of anything good happening at any time that day. You see, if that was the reality, then without hope, there'd be no reason for you to get out of bed. Without hope, life would scarcely be worth living. See, we need hope. We long for hope. And it's our hope that keeps us going. So each one of us is born with that need for hope, which leads us all to a decision. And the decision is, in what will I hope? Where will I place my hope? You see, in our culture, there's laid before us a wide variety of things that call out to us saying, place your hope in me. You know, tragically, a lot of people place their hope in things of this world. And if you place your hope in things of this world, it's going to be temporary hope. It's going to be illusionary hope. It's going to be hope that eventually disappoints. And for we who are followers of Jesus Christ, it's also very easy for us to place our hope primarily in the things of this world. If our hope resides in this present world, then our faith will primarily be in the things of this world. If our hope resides in this present world, then our love is going to be primarily for the things of this world. As I share over these next minutes together, I want you to be asking yourself, you know, in what is my hope? Where do we find hope? And oh my goodness, hope is offered by so many individuals. Think of them as vendors, as storekeepers, as shops from which you can get your hope. In fact, I'm going to have up on the screen a map of a shopping mall. And I want you to think in terms of this shopping mall map. And around this particular shopping mall, there are all sorts of different shops, shops from which we can get hope. In the orange shops, we have the religious section. There's a shop called Islam. And in Islam, they hold out the hope of paradise, which will be yours if you're a good Muslim and if you strictly follow the strict laws of Islam. There's a store there called Hinduism. And there the hope is held out to increasingly progress through your good works until you finally reach the state of nirvana. There's another store called Mormonism. And there the hope is you'll become a god of your own world by being a good Mormon and living a good Mormon life. There's another shop, the Christian Science shop. And there the hope is of escape from the troubles of this world by simply purging erroneous thinking. And there are hundreds of other shops in this religious section, all of them calling out to us, saying, find hope in me. But that's not the only section. There's a variety of shops in what I call the materialistic section. Those that are shaded in green are those shops that give us hope long-term for our well-being. These are shops that say, I have a retirement plan that will be your hope. I have investment opportunities that are your hopes. Or a few little shops say, I have a little lottery ticket that can be your hope. And there are also shops in this general area shaded in blue that offer us the hope of immediate well-being. Not long-term, but immediate. These offer hope through what's purchased, what we quickly consume. Food, the clothes, the cars, and other things. There are also that line of shops on the top of that map in kind of the yellowish-brown color. These are the shops in the pleasure section. These shops cater to our hope of being physically satisfied in the present. And they're all calling out to us saying, find hope in me. Literally, there are around us in our world hundreds of different things, philosophies, individuals, and they're all yelling to us, put your hope in me. Now, the trouble is that the hope offered by this world is anything but certain. It really is more of a wish. It often is illusionary. It's like a mirage. It appears to be real. It at best is temporary. It's seen often as that which can give continuous satisfaction, but it really doesn't. See, if any of us this morning are looking around ourselves in this present world to find hope, we're not going to find it. Just think with me about the world in which we live. You know, we live in a world filled with fallen people who will eventually disappoint us in some way. We live in a broken world where corruption and injustice are commonplace. We live in a world where individuals face temptations somehow, some way, every day. We live in a world where our physical bodies, as they grow older, can break down and along the way become infected with disease. We live in a world where Satan prowls around doing evil. We live in a world where war and strife pit nation against nation and individual against individual. Are you sure you want to look for hope in this world? I don't think so. There's got to be a better place for hope that can satisfy our longing within for the hope that we need. And there is that source. There's a place to go for great hope, not tiny hope, but great hope. There's a place to go for sure hope, not unsure, but sure. There's a place to go for satisfying hope, not the disappointing hope. And that place to go is revealed in verse 5 of our passage, where Paul writes of a hope we already hear of in the true message of the gospel. A place to go is the gospel. The gospel, which is the good news all about Jesus Christ. That's the place to go for hope. In the true gospel, we find true hope. Now let's think about this hope which is found in the message of the gospel. It says in verse 5 that this is a hope that is currently stored up for you in heaven. It's stored up for us in heaven. So it's there. Now, if it is in heaven, that means that hope is real. Because there's nothing unreal in heaven. If that hope is in heaven, that means that it is certain, because there's nothing uncertain in heaven. If that hope is in heaven, that means it's going to go on forever, because there's nothing temporary about heaven. If that is a hope which is in heaven, it's a hope that's never going to disappoint, because there's nothing disappointing in heaven. It's stored up for us in heaven. Now, I want you to think about it this way. You know, we know we're all about less than a month away from Christmas Day, right? Some of you are thinking, oh, it's time to start thinking about Christmas presents, right? No, not me. It's all taken care of. Thank you, Diane. So there are presents already bought, and they are in our house. They're in a specific room. They're stored up in that room. And each of those presents have a particular individual they're stored up for. Okay, they're very real. They're earmarked for a specific individual, and they're stored up for them. But in less than a month, that which is stored up will be in their hands. You see, that's a picture of the hope which is stored up for us in heaven. It's not something we wish will somehow come into existence at some point. It's there. It's certain. And it's just waiting. It's stored up for you. And one day that which is stored up will be yours. Now, what is this hope we have that's stored up in heaven? Really, it is the hope of heaven and all that awaits us there. Paul wrote to the Colossians later on in this chapter, verse 27. To them God has made known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. Something before unknown, but now revealed. The mystery which is Christ in you, it is the hope of glory. You see, our hope is in an eternal future existence in a place we know as heaven. We can call it paradise. And that place is a place that's very real. More real than what we call real in this present world. And the joys we have in the things we now see and hear, in the foods that we eat, in the relationships we enjoy, in the work we do that satisfy, all of those things are but foretastes. They're shadows of what is yet to come. Heaven is a place where we'll all receive new bodies. A place where there's no more sickness, no more death, no more pain, no more sadness, no more sin. That was the hope of all believers from the very beginning of time. We read in Scripture of Job and Noah and Abraham and Moses and David and Daniel and others, the apostles, the believers at the time of the early church, all the way down to our age. And we all share the same thing. This hope which is stored up for us in heaven. And it is a glorious, glorious hope. Now, this hope which is stored up for us in heaven, where do we hear about it? It says very plainly, we hear about it in the word of truth, which is the gospel, the good news. And the gospel message is the message through which this hope can be found. And the message is so very simple. It's not complicated. Jesus came. You know, that's what we're looking forward to now, aren't we? We started this Advent season. Jesus came. We remember that on Christmas Day. Jesus died. We remember that on Good Friday. And Jesus rose again on the third day. We remember that on Easter. And what his death does is it gives us victory over sin and death. When we trust in him, when we believe in him, that victory is ours. And his resurrection gives us the promise of a future physical resurrection as he had. Now, this future made possible by and in the person of Jesus Christ, that is our hope. People from all cultures, all ages, they need this gospel, because it's in this gospel hope is found. When Michael and Jen went to West Africa some years ago, they went to a people called the Yolanka people. Why did they go there? Did they look at that people and say, well, they don't have cell phones. I think they need cell phones, so let's go give them cell phones. Or they don't have the internet. Let's go make sure they can get connected. Or they don't have a Walmart within 5 miles of them. Let's go make sure they have a Walmart. Or we think, oh, those poor people, they don't have Big Macs. Let's get them a McDonald's. No, they did not go for any of those reasons. They go because that people needed the gospel. They needed to hear that message, a message which reveals this great hope we've been talking about this morning. And that's why our task of passing along this message, whether it be across the ocean or across the street, is so very important. It's because people need this certain hope which is found in the gospel. So most of us here, we've heard of this hope all of our lives. Many of us, we've received this hope. It's part of who we are since we trusted in Jesus Christ. But is this a hope that's beneficial only for down the road, well into our future, or is there benefit in the present? And the answer, according to what Paul is talking about here in Colossians 1, is there's present outcomes which are beneficial as well. It says in verse 5, the faith and love which spring from the hope that's stored up for you in heaven. So there are those two very present outcomes. One is faith. Now, as I thought about this, I came to the realization that the more real your future hope is to you, the more naturally your present faith will come to you. The more real your future hope is to you, the more naturally your present faith comes to you. Let me illustrate it this way. Let's imagine there's an 18-year-old, and this young man has received from his grandparents every Christmas, without fail, a gift of $1,000. You know, he's in the house, he opens the envelope, and there's a check for $1,000. Wow, it is now a month away for this 18-year-old. Christmas isn't here yet, but it's coming. And that individual at this time has full hope that that gift is already stored up for them, and in a month it's going to come to them. But let's say a month away from Christmas, they realize they need a new electronic device, and they don't have the money. You know, how are they going to do that? Well, here's what's likely going to happen. Because they have this future hope of this $1,000 gift, because they believe that hope is absolutely real, they're going to act in faith that springs from that hope and purchase that new device. It's the same in our lives. The more real our future hope is to us, the more naturally our present faith comes to us. Often in our Christian lives, we think the secret to greater faith is just trying harder. But I think it's more focusing intently on the hope which is stored up for us in heaven. It brings that faith. The second thing that springs from, or the outcome from this hope, is love. Love for God. How can you not love God when you understand what He has stored up for you? But love of people also. We grow in our love for those without this hope when we realize the hope that we had. And as I was preparing this message, I thought of Noah, the man who built the ark. I thought how he and his family, his six others in his family, how they had the hope of being saved from the judgment of God. But at that same time, all the others on earth, likely millions, maybe hundreds of millions, they didn't have that hope. Now, of course, Noah is described in Scripture as a preacher. And no doubt, as he preached, he pleaded with people to turn to God and find the hope that he had in God. But they didn't respond. Eventually, the day came when the door of the ark was shut, the torrential rains began, and inside that boat were seven with hope. Outside were millions without hope. Oh, the heartache that must have been in the heart of Noah and his family to be in the midst of that. And really what we need to do is see others around us without hope in the same way. And we need to do all we can to make sure that they attain this hope which is found in the gospel. That has to be to us more important than our own personal comfort. That has to be more important to us than our own individual likes or dislikes. You see, when we embrace this hope, one of the outcomes is love for those without this hope. But another aspect of it is love for fellow believers who also share in this hope. I want to stop just for a moment and say something, you know, maybe surprising to you. And that is this. Sometimes as believers, we might be a little hard to love. Huh? Is that surprising? Sometimes we can be a little prickly. Sometimes the believers around us can be a little hard to embrace in love. But you see, when we realize that all of us have the same love stored up for us in heaven, that love comes a lot more easily. That hope informs us that someday all of us are going to be worshiping around the same throne. That hope informs us that someday all of us are going to be living together in the same paradise. That hope informs us that the day will come when we'll all eat and celebrate and drink together around the same table at the wedding feast. That hope informs us that someday all of the sin that makes us and others a little prickly at times, that's going to be completely gone. And when we see our fellow believers through this hope, love for them flows easily. The hope we long for, the hope we've talked about, it would never be available to us if Jesus had not come into our world. But because he did, it is. So this Christmas, when in your mind's eye you're looking at this newborn baby with hair or without hair in the manger, remember that you're looking at one who not only brought you hope, you're looking at the one who is your hope. I want to have us think of one more question before we wrap it up, and that is, how can this hope be mine? Three things quickly to make this hope our own. First of all, receive it. Receive it. And it's more than just a page of doctrine to receive. What is our hope? Paul knew. He wrote this in the first verse of 1 Timothy. He identified himself as the author. He said, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Savior and of, listen, Christ Jesus our hope. Jesus Christ brought us this hope. Jesus Christ is this hope. And when you receive this hope, you receive Jesus, who is your hope. The moment you decide to look in faith to Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Lord, that hope is yours. It is, whether you feel it or not, it is stored up for you in heaven. So how can it be mine? By receiving it. Secondly, by believing it. Once you receive it, live life believing it. That which is stored up for you in heaven is real. Live like it's real. That which is stored up in heaven is more valuable than anything else in this world. In fact, you can take everything in this world, add it all together, and it's less valuable than what's stored up for you. Live like it's valuable. That which is stored up in heaven for you is absolutely astonishing. Live like it's astonishing. So receive it, believe it, and rejoice in it. It's a hope that's so wonderful, it's worthy of getting excited about. It's a hope that's so wonderful, it's worthy of giving thanks continuously for. I want to wrap things up by reminding you of a fellow who we learn about through the Old Testament. His name was Habakkuk. He wrote a short little book in the prophetic section. And in the first chapter, we see him without any hope. First, he looks around himself. He sees, he writes, injustice, evil, destruction, violence, strife, and conflict. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, he looked around himself and he didn't have any hope. And then God spoke to him and God said, okay, here's how it's going down, Habakkuk. I'm going to send in the Babylonians. They're going to take over and destroy pretty much everything you love. Okay, that did not help his hope at all. So he's still without hope at that point. But he sits and waits on God, and for the next two chapters, God describes to him the hope that's stored up for him in heaven. And how does he respond after his eyes are lifted to the hope that's stored up in heaven? He says this, though the fig tree doesn't bud, there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. That's a result of his hope, his awareness of that hope which was stored up for him in heaven. You see, that hope which we truly long for cannot and will not be found in our present world. The hope we long to be filled with, it arrived when Jesus Christ came into our world. Yes, he brought us hope, but he also is our hope. So receive him and believe him and rejoice in him. Can we bow together in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for the hope that you brought into our world. A world that was void of hope, a world that would still be void of hope, real hope, if it wasn't for you. Lift our eyes to see you as our hope in life. Lift our eyes to the heavens and help us to realize it's stored up for us there. Thank you for the hope we have in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.